Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed him. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Please recite Psalm 148 responsibly. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all you angels. Sing praise, all you hosts.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heaven, and waters above.
Let them praise the name of the Lord who commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all the depths.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, pest, wind, dust.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things, climbers.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven.
The Lord has raised
up strength. Praise for all. The children of the Lord. Hallelujah. The second reading is from Hebrews, the second chapter. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the ones who sacrifice and those who are sacrificed all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him, and also here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise man. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
I want to start out this morning by acknowledging that there are Sundays during the church year when we risk a certain dissonance. Some call it whiplash. Today is one of those days. We come off the warm glow of Christmas Eve. We continue to sing the beloved carols. We celebrate the truth and the promise of God coming to dwell among us, among humanity, among God's beloved creation. This is when we cling to the faith, hope, and love that undergirds our belief. Yet today, we hear that indeed, where light shines brightly, shadows are most distinct. And to the brightness of God's presence, there is a shadow side in the story of Herod. Indeed, the church remembers five minor festivals and commemorations during the time between Christmas and Epiphany. Stephen, a martyr. John, an apostle and evangelist. The Holy Innocents, the story we hear today. The name of Jesus. And Johann Lua, a renewer of the church. Two of these speak of the ways that the world can be cruel, nothing like the glitter and shiny hope we associate with Christmas. So, we risk whiplash today. We sing carols and we hear the story of children killed by a shrewd king who is trying to hold power under the guise of keeping the peace. Holding these realities together, we join the tradition of the Hebrew Bible, where opposing and conflicting worldviews can be held up as true both at the same time. Martin Luther preached it like this in his Christmas sermon. The slaughter by Herod of all the children of Bethlehem and the region about was a piece of sheer barbarism. But doubt not that Herod would find a plausible defense so that people would regard it not as tyranny, but as necessary severity. The world is the master of this art. Thus Herod and his men took the sword and became frightful murderers, even though they put out such a persuasive defense that everyone thought they were keeping the peace. More contemporary to us, Joy Carol Wallace writes, "We Christians like to talk about putting Christ back into Christmas, but let's not forget to put Herod back in Christmas." Herod reminds us that Jesus didn't enter a world of sparkly Christmas cards or a world of warm spiritual sentiment. Jesus enters a world of real pain, of serious dysfunction, a world of brokenness and political oppression. Jesus was born an outcast, a homeless person, a refugee, and finally he becomes a victim of the powers that be. Jesus is the perfect savior for outcasts, refugees, and nobodies. That's how the church is described in Scripture time and time again. Not as the best and the brightest, but those who in their weakness become a sign for the world of the wisdom and power of God. All of this is true. Much as we love to beat up on Herod, we need also to remember that he was a gifted politician. As the son of one who had worked so hard to navigate the ways, he continued to navigate those ways that would restore and maintain a central and worthy position for his region of the world. Matt Skinner, writing for the Working Preacher website, notes that when we characterize evil, it would be easier to hold Herod as a foil, seething horror. Skinner notes that Herod is not quite as barbaric as we would like to believe. Evil rarely comes so clearly packaged. Here's a list of things that Skinner points out. Herod was no madman. In fact, many of his contemporaries saw him as a savior in his own right. Evil usually dresses itself up in respectability and embeds itself in the very systems that we depend on to keep chaos at bay. Evil cannot act without complicity from the larger culture. It is enabled and is, in fact, has its own contributors. Skinner's notes on evil in general and Herod in particular remind me of words from Ed Friedman when he speaks about leadership. He notes that people who behave poorly within the congregation never do so without the support, the consent of the larger community allowing it. In fact, they serve a necessary role in the system. All of this is to say that today we have a reminder that in the midst of singing our beloved Christmas carols, life is messy. It is precisely into this messy reality that God chooses to take on flesh and live among us. God elects not to arrive on a fiery chariot of war, but rather in a vulnerability of a child, born of a family who needs to escape into another country. God chooses to align presence with the weak, the poor, the rejected, and the dejected. This is good news. Although at times we would rather identify with the lowly, when we are also in positions that are too easily complicit with the Herods of our world, tacitly and sometimes overtly supporting their programs of keeping good order in the face of God's efforts to reorder creation for the good of all. So yes, let us celebrate all that Jesus' birth means for us. Let us be humble about how that affects each of us and our communities. Let us seek to align ourselves with God's mission and ministry for the sake of all who live at risk, right here in our midst and beyond.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.